Speaking of doing your best, not all the media reporting on the alleged insect apocalypse has been very good, let alone their best. Have you heard the stories that bees are under threat? What will we do without the bees? Who's going to pollinate the cherry trees? Heavens above. And other insects. I mean, they're an important part of the biosphere. Bugs. They really are. But that apocalypse doesn't appear to have happened. So let's talk to someone who knows a bit about that. John Entine is the founding editor of the Genetic Literacy Project. He's winner of 19 journalism awards and he's written a number of books. He's got something to tell us about the apocalypse that was meant to be, or alleged to be, for insects. John Entine, welcome to Counterpoint.
Thank you. Very happy to be here.
We'd be in a bad way if we didn't have bees, wouldn't we?
Absolutely. Bees and, frankly, insects in general, as annoying as they could be splattering on our windshield driving along, are absolutely a fundamental part of the ecosystem and in the food chain. That's how we pollinate a lot of our plants. So although some insects, of course, are quite annoying, we desperately need them if we want a healthy planet.
How did this notion that bees were at risk around the world start?
Well, we are facing problems with bees and insects for a myriad number of reasons. If you go back over the last 50 years and you chart using statistics from Australia, New Zealand, United States, Europe, you can see a definite decline in the insect population, mostly as the result of urbanization. As you would suspect, if there's less rural areas, you're going to have less insects. In the late 1980s, there was a sharp drop-off. It ended up that they traced it to something called a varroa mite, which, interestingly enough, has not really infected Australia, but devastated Japan, parts of Asia, Europe, and the United States. And there's been continuous problems related to these kinds of incursions. But activists have tended to look to the use of chemicals and pesticides that's grown over the past 50 years in agriculture as the culprit, but the science hasn't actually shown that.
Well, what does the science tell us? People say we should follow the science, and I agree we should, provided we keep our minds open and understand that science keeps changing. But what does the science tell us about this alleged apocalypse or Armageddon for bugs?
Well, we have seen actually over the past 7-8 years a significant improvement in the insect population, especially the bee population in Europe and the United States and in Asia. Again, Australia has never had a problem because it's been insulated from the varroa mites. And so we have definitely seen changes to the better. The apocalypse narrative really emerged in the early 2000s. It was part of the anti-GMO movement that was targeting the use of chemicals that were used in tandem with a lot of biotech products, particularly glyphosate. It was an easy kind of proxy for attacking biotech crops by saying, oh, the insect decline, which was only temporary, was linked to those kinds of things. Now science has had many more years to map this out, but there's still a lot of catastrophists among activist scientists who want to push this narrative that insects are in decline, bees are in decline, when in fact the data suggests that things could be better. Urbanization is increasing and climate change causes problems, but we're not in a catastrophic situation and we aren't facing a major crisis.
No. You're on RN. This is Counterpoint. I'm Amanda Vanstone. I'm talking with John Entine. He's the founding editor of the Genetic Literacy Project. And what we're talking about is the apocalypse coming for bugs, because it isn't coming. In 2013, Time magazine, you know, when I was a kid, people used to think, well, if Time magazine said it, it must be true. I'm a bit wiser now, I'm older. But, you know, they had a front cover, A World Without Bees, with a beautiful photograph, incidentally. But, you know, that's the sort of thing that goes into people's minds as they're passing a newsstand. Even if they don't read Time, they see the front cover on the newsstand and think, oh, a world without bees. And then this false narrative takes hold.
We've seen so many of them. In fact, just 2-3 years ago, the New York Times magazine, which is equivalent in influence to Time magazine, had a cover story about what they called the insect apocalypse. It was going beyond the bee apocalypse and saying it was affecting all insects. And as you said, this emblazons it in people's minds. The irony of the Time magazine cover was that it was almost exactly then when the situation began turning around. There had been a 3 or 4 year period when things had gotten bad from about 2006, 2007 to 2011. And as usually happens, right when the catastrophists are trying to make their case is when things have already turned around and things are really not so bad. But you have to understand, science from the political left and the political right has become very ideological in the United States. The Trumpers are very anti-vaccine, and to them, it's a political stand. And the same thing has happened, I think, on the insect decline narrative. It's become part of kind of the left arguing that the world is facing environmental catastrophe, and it helps support their narrative that they want to spend money to address these kinds of things, when really the issues are climate change, which are affecting all of us, and they're not really linked to the kinds of things that they say they are, which is conventional agriculture.
Mm. Well, when you look at one of the studies, as I understand it, they concentrated very much on Europe and the United States, and not much at all in other places, like Australia, for example, where you say we might have 200,000 insect species here. I don't want to know them all personally, but you know, fair enough. We've got a rich biosphere, that's true. And didn't pay much attention to South America either. So what's presented as an international study is not actually a study of insects in the world at large.
I think you've really nailed it. The study that sort of created the most recent wave of this apocalypse narrative was based on really a relatively small area in Germany, almost a park, a preserve, and they used that to extrapolate around the world. As you mentioned, many parts of the world were not even addressed in the survey, particularly Latin America, with the rainforest there. That is the insect capital of the world. And they're extrapolating from one relatively small area in Germany to the rest of the world was absurd. You know, the expert on this happens to be Australian, a woman named Manu Saunders. She's an entomologist. I think she won the Office of Environment and Heritage Australian Award for Outstanding Science Outreach. She's done extensive work on this and is really as mainstream an entomologist as you can imagine. And she's just exasperated that the media, whether it's in Australia or the United States or Europe, has ridden with this catastrophe reporting. It gains headlines and clicks, but it surely doesn't inform the people.
Mm. Let me just summarize this. The bees are okay. In North America, for example, the bee population is doing okay, probably in Europe, certainly in other places around the world. We can rest assured the bugs are okay and agriculture is not killing bugs. But in fact, I think some of the surveys have shown that when there's pasture country, when there's agriculture, there's a lot more insects.
Yeah, I think that's a fairly good description. I think there's no question that climate change has stressed out the bee population and insects in general. So we're not totally in the clear here, but I think there's a difference between saying we have an addressable problem and saying there's a catastrophe and the world's going to end because all the insects are going to disappear.
Indeed. John Entine, it's been a pleasure talking to you about the bees and other bugs. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much.